So welcome to another Tuesday Live with Linda and Friends. And I just discovered something that it's kind of been, oops, I'm going to mute all for the moment because Victoria is just having her husband help her to get on her computer. So I, you know, our little wonderful dog, Griffin, people who know Chinese crested have sometimes wondered if he is a cross because his legs are much longer than most Chinese crested, I'm told. And today we had a wonderful contractor from Mexico come to look at our brick pavers around our pool. And he took one, his name is Emilio. He's this wonderful, young, enthusiastic young man. He took one look at our dog, Griffin. And he said, oh, my favorite dog. I just love this dog. I said, oh, really? Like, why? Well, he's a Mexican dog. And I said, oh, interesting. I've only seen the Mexican hairless that were larger. And I'm told he's a Chinese crested. He said, no. And he showed me a picture, which I've got to call him and find out where he got it, because he's exactly Griffin. I mean, really long legs and this perfect, you know, mane that he has. And I was so excited to see this because, yeah, it's been a question. Is it possible that maybe he is a cross with something, but I couldn't imagine what. So, and the breed is spelled XOLOITZCUINTLI. And the part that I just Googled, the breed goes back like 3,500 years. And I've had now three different pronunciations for this. And Emilio translated as Sholo Sha Wing Swingdi. Oh my God. So I don't know how I'm going to get through that, but I know that so many of you are so appreciative of the amazing dogs in your life.
Yeah. And I know someone who used to have the large one and they just call them Sholos.
Right. That's a short form. There's one video on it, but it's only a part of the name.
Oh yeah. but it's the easy part.
It's a really easy part. And I'm happy to have Sholo, you know, that name, but it's was really lovely to have an American now born in Mexico be able to say it and be so in love with him. So I want to begin by, first of all, saying hi to everybody here. I think I've got most of you now, except Anna, I didn't greet you. And I would like to have Dorothy welcome. And if you would introduce yourself, unmute yourself and introduce yourself and tell us who you are, how you got here, what your interest is in T-Touch.
I've just come out of COVID, so I've got a throat thing. So I've been delving into energy work, Donna Eden's energy work, and starting way back with NLP and EFT and just exploring things. And I have, meanwhile, I have a 10-year-old reactive border collie that I've been trying to help along. And so I started using some energy work with her, but nothing regular. And she's coming along, but excuse me. Anyway, I've been involved with dogs all my life. So she's the love of my life, even though she's a real problem at times. And I came to the celebration, just happened on, I don't know how, it just happened. And then I just got really hooked onto the whole scene here. And I'm just really excited to explore it with you. It just feels like, especially going through COVID, you're aware of how important your health is, and what a gratitude for when you can come back and do things. So to me, it's a lovely melding of working with my dog and myself and healing together. And I have people in my family and friends too that would benefit from my knowing more about about healing and connecting. And so that's where I am. Just I love exploring, and it feels like this is connected to so many other things that I've been exploring for the last 20-30 years. So yeah,
beautiful. Thank you. And one of the things I could just suggest to you right now as we're sitting here, Danielle Azur is a behavioral veterinarian who's actually one of our instructors for companion animals in Germany, but she travels all over Europe teaching, and also an instructor for human T-Touch for you. And so she went on vacation with her partner a few weeks ago to Italy, and they caught COVID like just before they were leaving. And so during the drive, they had no chance to get any other help because it really came on actually during this 2-hour drive. So she just started doing the lightest possible 1¼ circles, the lightest you possibly can. And actually I'm using my fingers like this so you can see, but it's best if you take the back of your fingers. I'm going to put me on speaker view so maybe you can see a little bigger. So rather than using the front of the fingers, which is like a threat to the body, just because of our, when you consider our past lives, this is not a safe situation when you consider energy and how everything we do has an effect. So instead, we use the back of our fingers and just with the lightest possible, and imagine the face of a clock. You take this clock off the wall that most of us had in school, and you make a tiny, like a fairy version of it. And you just imagine this little clock here, and you put the numbers on it. Like, imagine the numbers. You put the energy of the numbers on it. The 6 at the bottom, the 9 up to the left, the 12 toward the chin, and the 3 to my right shoulder. And it's the tiniest movement. You take a deep breath and you smile. And everywhere that is like catching your throat, or you have a sore throat, you can use the side of your finger. And actually, we've given animal names to each part of the fingers. And does anybody remember what that side of the forefinger is when I just gently stabilize it with the gentlest touch with my thumb? Looks like that. Anybody remember what that's called? It should be called the Teresa T-Touch, because I was shown that as I was working on Teresa Cottarelli, who's here with us. What was that, 20 years ago, Teresa? In a T-Touch for you, when she had back pain. And why use the side? Because it's easier. It's not comfortable, whether energetically, like feeling safe with the fingers reaching out. And there's a lot of like energy in that. So I just use whatever part of my hand is easy. And you might try this while you're watching it, because you can teach it to other people when you on the phone. You can just describe this on the phone. And you just go all over and we smile. If you can take like, this is really nice, Dorothy. As you move around, you might find that you just want to use different parts of your hand, whatever is easy to turn. And like, instead of using the pads of my fingers, And when I use the like 3/4 of the pads, that's has the name of the clouded leopard detach. I'll explain why after. So it's a little bit too much intensity. So that's why I simply turned my hand and used the side, which is called the camel. And the it's the lightest, it's the lightest contact you can make to move the skin. And I'm just doing this so you can really see and feel the eyeball underneath with the like just the tiniest, like a whisper of a contact. That's a one pressure from 1 to 10 that you'll we do with this work. And just and support your elbow so that you're not having to hold up your hand while you do this. And like in this position, when I sit back and support it, I can use from the tips of my fingers to the knuckles, where to the second joint, sorry, wherever that's easy, I can use that. And from the tips to the second joint, that part, when you touch with the back of your fingers like that, that's called the a baby orangutan from a little orang that I worked on in the San Diego Zoo many, many years ago. So it, in the beginning, you know, you don't have to remember what the touches are called, but every time you think of that animal, it's bringing the energy of the connection, the love that we feel, pretty much everybody here, for all animals. And you remember, all of you, one of the, in the past like about 10 years, there's been a recognition of something called the nature, nature deficit syndrome. Because so many young people are not getting out in nature, or people who work in offices all day, come home, they're tired, they don't go out in nature. That nature deficit syndrome. And when we think about the energy, the connection to that particular animal, it brings them into our consciousness. And that's something, so Dorothy, in our work with T-Touch and my work that I was blessed to study for 4 years with Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais at the San Francisco Institute of, I have no words today. It's really interesting. Anyway, in San Francisco. And one of the things we were not ever, one word we were never allowed to utter in our classes was the word energy. Because San Francisco, 1975 to 78, like everyone was talking about energy, you know, in the holistic world. And because Moshe Feldenkrais had a PhD from the Sorbonne and he was a scientist, there was no scientific explanation at that time of energy. But now, thank heaven, because we know, thanks to quantum science, that everything is energy. And actually, what is the most inspiring to me, you all, and I'll keep bringing these words in, it's I forgot to silence my phone. So one of the visionaries that has really brought science and spirituality together is Greg Braden. And in his book, The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, he has a description of energy that makes it possible to realize that every single person on the planet affects everything that happens on the planet. Because every thought we have is energy. Every feeling we have is energy. Every emotion we have is energy. And every belief, and of course, every word that we speak. And when we know that, it is so empowering, because It means that when we become conscious of our thoughts, our words, our feelings, our emotions, our belief, that we have a choice. Do we want to put out positive energy, positive thoughts out into the whole, not just the planet, the whole universe? Or do we support the fear? And another one of the books I'm going to be exploring, because we're going to start a book club now, thanks to the celebration. And one of my favorite, most important books of the many books that have influenced me is Dr. Jerry Jampolsky's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear. And his basic premise, and he founded an organization on consciousness that is in 32 countries. I had the great pleasure of knowing him and his wife, Diane, for many, many years and spending time with them. And this idea that we have only two emotions, love or fear. Which do we choose? And what's really interesting, because we all have negative thoughts. I don't know any states. And when we catch ourselves, and then say, wait a minute, what's the blessing in this? No matter what the negative is, how can I shift my thoughts so that it affects the energy on the entire planet? And so it's not that we punish ourselves and thinking, oh my God, look at, I had another negative thought. But we all have them. That's where we come in to the concept, the Hawaiian prayer of Ho'oponopono, of forgiveness for ourselves and for just forgiveness, period. And it's too much information. I'm not going to give you the simplicity of how that forgiveness prayer, because it's really simple, but I encourage you all to read the basic, my favorite book, and there are many of them on Ho'oponopono, and that is Ulrich Dupre's book on that, so simply entitled Ho'oponopono. So I'm really excited, Dorothy, that you come into this class, coming from Donna Eden and NLP. We were very involved with NLP during my Feldenkrais training in the 70s, because that's when they were just developing the work at the time, and we had them in our class with Moshe Feldenkrais at the Humanistic Psychology Institute. That's where we were studying. And so I have one of the things that I'm just guided today, because we have 2 hours, Dorothy, here that we're together. And I would like to hear from you all who were part of the celebration, or who had a chance to read some of the, listen to some of the presentations. So Ava, what do you come away with?
Hi, I'm Ava, and welcome Dorothy, and hello to everybody. I was at the, I attended all the live celebration, and I watched the video. And I must say, I was just amazed by how well done, you know, and the depth, how, you know, I started to understand all the different pieces of the puzzle. You know, I got a better grasp of it this summer with Teresa. And then suddenly, you know, by watching, I was really impressed by Sandy's video and Sage, the Voyage, and Eleanor and others. And it was just amazing. The generosity also. I didn't feel, and like a lot of other things that I've went to Feldenkrais, you know, gatherings or whatever, it was not too commercial. And I really enjoyed that. I felt that you really were trying not to make it commercial. No, it can't get those people known because they deserve to be known. And I went my own voyage with Sandy, with Sage, going on the site, but it was my own will. I didn't do it because I had a present here or whatever, you know. And this I really appreciated. And the bienveillance, the kindness, the quality of the listening to each other, and the conviviality. I could feel it at every gathering, every video, and that was really great. So it was very enriching for me. And I feel that suddenly all the pieces got together, and I went on the Ho'oponopono site, and I went like a snowball. I listened to a video, and then I went on that track and on that track, and it was mind opening and very empowering. So thank you very, very much. I mean, I can see how much work and thinking there was behind it, so it looks so easy and so accessible technically. You didn't have to be a technical wizard to get to understand how to get there. And that was great. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was the work of my niece, Mandy Pretty, and Robin, my sister.
Robin, yeah.
And I mean, it was stunning. They decided not to go with a company because these companies just, I have quite a few friends who've done big things like this. And it cost them an arm and a leg to start with. I mean, medicine, I don't know if any of you listened to Brooke Medicine Eagle like 2 years ago. She had an amazing group of people. I mean, just every one of them you wanted to listen to. And she was so unhappy after because she put incredible amounts of thought and her life experience behind it. And she wound up with very, very little profit or for her time. And that was one of the reasons that she did it. But Robin decided they looked at having a company do this, and then they decided they didn't like the way they were doing it. They didn't, I mean, didn't you all think who got these the messages that my niece Mandy wrote every day? They were so inviting, so simple, so clear, and so heartfelt. I mean, I tell you, I'm just like singing. I mean, I basically had nothing to do with this. They planned it all. I just showed up in awe.
Yes, but Linda, they got all the background, but it really put you forward because they are all your thoughts and your beliefs and how you got there and all the elements and the depth into what you're bringing, and you make it so simple. When we see you every Tuesday, for me, it's so simple, it's so matter of fact. And then you see how deep it goes in the philosophy, the spirituality, the science, the I didn't realize there was so much behind. So it's you are it kind of magnified and give light to what you have done. And what I really appreciate also is how much you got from the Feldenkrais and how much you created your own. I mean, you're not just calling a different name for an ATM or whatever. You really made it, you pushed it forward, and I'm sure he would be very, very proud of you.
Me too. And he said in our very first training, he said that don't just follow my what I do. Develop your own fingerprints. And of course, I mean, I couldn't do anything else because
You put your paw.
I just listened, and trusted. So thank you all. Was there anybody else here who was saw any of the celebration or listened to any of the other? I'm going to put you back on gallery. Sandra, you were there. You've been to all of ours. I mean, over the years. Tell us, what was a highlight for you? Wait, you're muted. Hi, Razia. Hi, Megan.
Did I mute myself? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, it's all amazing to me always, but for me, the part about our words and how we say things was really important to me because of the people that I'm with and friends and associates who, you know, think I'm rather crazy to begin with. But I have to find ways to explain what I believe and what I do, and tea touch is my life. It's how I live. And so explaining it is sometimes difficult because I'm probably not using the right words or saying it in the right way that they can understand. So that was really important to me. But overall, it's just a wonderful experience to be with everyone and to connect with everyone and listen to all the instructors, some of which I know, many of which I don't, but it's just a wonderful, uplifting experience. So it's always wonderful to be at a celebration for Tea Touch.
Thank you. And for those of you, the idea was 4 days, and each day there would be like 2 live sessions, and on 2 days there were breakout rooms, which were very successful. And the different teachers who were leading the or on the panels, and there were panels for Tea Touch for Dogs, Tea Touch for Kitties, Tea Touch for You, for humans, the five veterinarians who have been using Tea Touch in their practice, and 3 of those are Tea Touch instructors. Also for horses and then companion animals and humans. And I forget what else we had, but the breakout rooms, the names of the people and who were heading the rooms, and there were two teachers in each room. And then you could go in between rooms and ask questions and get to know other people. So it was just incredibly successful. And it's not too late because I'm going to be like bringing a few things each time from what I learned and heard from that and some of the examples. And you can still sign up for it because you get all of those besides the live sessions every day for 4 days. Then we had each day about 12 maybe other presenters who had made their videos before. And then you could listen to them at your leisure. So it sounds, Ava, that you got a chance to get into several of them. And they're just amazing. They're just brilliant. I was so, I mean, I was so honored, to be a part of that. Jewel?
Yes, ma'am. I have to admit that between Ava and Sandra, they've done a great job of summarizing everything. I'm really grateful and thankful for the recordings, because I have not had a chance to go through everything. I actually missed a couple of the live sessions that I did not intend to miss. But when your contractor you've been waiting on for 3 months calls and says, I'll be there in half an hour.
Right.
You go. So, yeah. And I'm always struck by the oneness pretty much we all feel, and by the, because I was at one of the actual celebrations, the when we were all physically together in Santa Fe, and the global aspects of people that are interested and people that are so vital to everything that we try to do.
Yeah, it was, thank you. It was amazing. And I so appreciated you sharing on the panel for Tea Touch for Self-Care. It was just really great. So are there any questions that any of you would like to ask about this? What we're doing for follow-up, actually, we're going to have times where those who are involved can come on and have a session and have a chance to ask questions and share. And Sandy Rakowitz, who for years, quite a few years, I mean, she's worked with me for many, many years in Hawaii, but Eleanor and Sandy and I did some of these Tea Touch for Self-Care for a while. And it was so great to have her on and explain, you know, in her talk, all the studies that Sandy Rakowitz and Robin Bernhardt did, brainwave studies that were so great. So she's going to come on with us one of these Tuesdays and talk about those and share that background. And one of the things that I just love about Sandy, and she came to her first clinic in the 80s, but she has a background of not just going through the Barbara Brennan's Energy School, but also of being a teacher later. And that's one of the books that I'm going to be talking about over these in the community in the next many months. I have a lot of books to go over. So you, just so you know, Dorothy, anytime you want to have a question about anything I say, this is like really for you all. And you just go to the bottom of your screen and you see where reactions are in the middle. And you raise your hand, and we have above it, if you just go to reactions, you see you have thumbs up, a heart, looks like clapping. I don't know, I guess it's really sad. There's a wow. I'm not sure what the little thing is on the right. The cup, it looks like Yahoo kind of idea. And you can post those, how you feel about something when someone says something. It's just kind of fun. And the other thing that we do is in all the trainings that we do, when somebody presents, we recognize them by either, for years we did these angel wings, and it's a little hard to see in this small screen. But I started using this sign, which is in sign language, that's applause. And standing applause is when you bring your arms up. So a little hard to see, but you know what you're doing. So it just acknowledging, recognizing each other. And there's no such thing as a dumb question. Any question that you have is really welcomed. And doesn't mean that I know the answer necessarily, but I will certainly address that. And we'll start exploring that. What does someone else have to think about that? So I want to share with you a video that is in our library in the community. And we have this Shellington Tea Touch community. You can sign up for it. And we have a Facebook site for questions, but you have all my videos and all the webinars that we do almost weekly for years are in there. So I want to share with you a video that was made at the university, by the university film department in Johannesburg. And it's when we do, for years until COVID, we did two trainings a year in South Africa for horses and companion animals. Often when I was there, we did it for humans also. And, oh, you all, I had the amazing blessing to bring Tea Touch to Soweto for the orphans who are there. And the thing that's so interesting in Soweto is that so many of those orphans are living in these small houses, they're made of tin. And they're sometimes one of the places that I took a food package to, which I realized after was probably not a good idea, because I'm sure it was stolen, because the girl who was in charge of these little kids, toddlers, up to about 6 years old, she was 10. And these kids are, they group together in these homes because they're pretty much all orphans. And once a day, they come together to be fed. And the work that the churches have done down there for those orphans is so impressive, because they educate them. The kids get uniforms and come to school. And I want to show you. So I had been working with the caregivers, and one of these days I should just pull up some of the pictures to inspire you. These people are so amazing. And actually we gave scholarships to two of them to come to our Teach Out for You trainings so that they could share that when we weren't there. So there was a big holiday. It was a really national holiday. And we were invited with the film school to come, and I taught the children how to do tarantulas pulling the plow and the heart hug. And that's where the name the heart hug came from, because it's just like hugging yourself. And this is how it was described at that point. So I'm going to screen share. Let's see where my share screen. Oops, get the sound, get the share. And here we are. This video is in the library. It's Teach Hutch for Self-Help with Orphans in Soweto, South Africa, Heart Hugs and Tarantulas Pulling the Plow. And this is when I was running a workshop for children affected by HIV and AIDS, teaching the positive messages of Teach Hutch and demonstrating it on some therapy dogs. And it was something they could do to help to comfort them when they were afraid. So I'll start. Now, I just want to explain what that was. As we drove up to the place where they're all fed every day, I didn't know it was a national holiday, and kids were lining the streets like a block before we got there, and they laid out this carpet, so when we got out of the car, we walked on this carpet, and we were there to teach them. They had a celebration for us. And it was, they did a whole, like, almost an hour, and not just for us, but it was for everybody. It was many things, you know, a play between people on why to be careful because of AIDS and HIV. And it was extremely well done. And kids dancing, and one little six-year-old reciting the pledge of their country, but so beautifully. So you'll see. As those of you who know dogs see, this was a problem. That was a therapy dog. And the person who brought him is one of our teachers. And so, of course, they had to then go in and quietly protect the dog and then show them how to quietly put their hands on it.
Okay. And then... we are about to begin, and we're going to start with Keletuo with a prayer.
When I grow up, I want to be a pilot. Thank you, my son. I am special. Look at me. You will see a very special person. That is me. Thank you. HIV and AIDS. Being HIV positive is not a death sentence. Doctor says you can live more than 15 years depending on your lifestyle. Being positive means and think positive. Children's right. All children have a right to an enemy. A decent thing to live. All children be looked after. When they're sick and have a right to grow up with love, affection, and security. Eating well.
Can you understand? He says that all children have the right to grow up with love and.
Pinkies are the best guarantees of good health. The name of my child is Tandra, Eddie and Take Care Center. It is in Zone 6 Middle. Teacher Tembile, teacher Papa, teacher Somo, teacher Debra, and my principal is teacher Mama.
Thank you.
An entertainment, the start and an entertainment, and as it is, it was Yalandel. Without further ado, please give Mamban a round of applause at the stage.
The chair lady of Nkosi Nothando Caregiving Project in Bramfisher Phase 2 in Ntabamhlophe. It all started in 2002 when I was a volunteer at TCD, Total Control of the Epidemic. So they've taught us to take care of the sick people, often, and children with disability. So I've got two children that are physically challenged. My eldest son was born paralyzed the right hand side, and my last born is mentally disturbed. And now we're also taking care of adults that are also physically challenged. So most of the help that we are getting, because our area doesn't have a clinic, we get it from Cora Bailey. I'm so blessed to have you all people here, more especially Linda. Welcome to our place. Yeah, and it's a great honor. Thank you so much for all the
information.
And I want to applaud. It's a great pleasure for me to be here with you all. And we are going to, with Phyllis and Sue and all of you, sharing some of the things, some of the gifts that the animals brought to us, of how you can feel better to boost your immune system, how you can feel better when you're afraid or when you're not feeling so well, and what you can do to make yourself feel better. And that's what we're planning to share with you today. And with Fatma and Sam, and we're going to have a wonderful time giving back to you from the elements some gifts for yourself.
San Manani! Good, as talent parties, so funda.
These two young women who were helping me are members from the film school, and they were just lovely.
Lona Usem, kunomunyu mama, bambizu Linda, upuninda, asimbize ni Linda.
Linda!
Aganizu Linda.
Linda!
They were saying, where is she? Because I was like around the corner when we got ready to do this. So they were calling me.
Oh, Pulinda, Hayi kanti mbizi kahle mana sim one last time. Linda!
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 Now Linda ke asimthandeleni Linda. Okay, uLinda kena namhlanje uzonifundisa ukuthi nidlala kanjani, niphatha kanjani izinja. Manibona ukuthi ziyagula niziphathe kanjani nani manigula, nikazi ukuthi nizenze kanjani nibe ngcono ne. Ne? Akathi nilele, linjani mara wayengathi nilele. Bukani sone. Okay, sizonifundisa ingoma emnandi ne. Linda,
so is everybody ready?
Yes!
We're going to, today, what we're going to do is learn from the animals some of the things that we can do to help ourselves. So how we treat the animals, how they learn, and how we can help ourselves if we're not feeling so well, or if we're a little afraid, or if we have a little injury, little owie. I'm going to show you how to help yourself. But first we're going to sing a song to boost. So what I want you to know is that this was in Soweto. The reason I was there is that one of our practitioners in the companion animal training was involved in volunteering for a project called CLAWS. And I has been so long now, I forget what that stands for, but it was a way to celebrate animals and to care for animals, because as you can imagine, as in many countries, they're not treated well. And so free dog food was given out, and houses for the dogs, and leashes and collars. And the children were taught on a regular basis to be kind to the animals. Boost our immune system so that we get strong. And you all know about cells, right? Everybody knows about cells in your body? So we're going to sing this little song, and it's going to be a little song and a little dance. So this is how the song goes. I'll say it first, and then we'll sing it. And then we'll stand up, and then we'll dance with it. So it's, every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. Okay, so we do it again. Every little cell in my body is happy. Little cell in my body is well. All right, so now, should we stand up and do our little dance with it? Okay, up we go, come on. So we're going to move it up and down on the toes. Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. You ready? Again. Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. Good job.
Every day. Just every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. Ne?
Good. So should we bring our dog in now? We show you some of the things you're going to learn today.
Every day, ne?
So what I'm going to do is show you a little bit about dogs. Do you know what it means if a dog is a little bit uncertain? So do you know what a dog tells you how they're feeling? You can watch, like, if they're a little bit nervous, they'll lick their lips. You can do it. And they blink and turn their head away. So you do that. Blink and turn your head away. So if you're with a dog who's a little bit nervous, you can come up to the dog, and instead of looking, you go, You just turn your head a little bit. And you can talk to them this way, so they won't be afraid of you. And sometimes, have any of you ever seen a dog yawn, go? Anybody see them do that? So you do it, everybody yawn. Sometimes when they do that, it means that they're a little uncertain. So you have to be more careful, a little slower with them. And of course, we know that when they turn their head away, that this is a calming signal. And so if we turn our head away, from my point of view, it allows the dog to look at us, which otherwise, no, we're just looking at them. They can't. So we're going to learn today some circles. We're going to learn to do some circles on your dog.
Okay, Usain, but now we are the same thing. Okay, kana manje sizonipa ama toys wenu ne. Lama toys sizonibonisa ukuthi maniphethe ama animals wenu or izinja zenu sinibona ukuthi ngisize kanjani ne. USam lona uzonipa ama toys wenu ukuthi ngathi masisebenza ngezinja nina zosebenza ngama toys ne. Ne? Wena ipora kangaka wena. Wena anjabulanga. Alright, Sam uzonipa ke Sam over to you.
Okay, pass it to a girl. Boy. Another boy.
Another
girl.
Girl.
Another boy.
Boy.
Another boy.
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 Got another boy. Boy. These were gifts that we took to them. I can't even remember what they all were, but there were quite a few stuffed animals that we had.
Girl, where's the girl? Girl.
Boy.
Boy. This is for a boy.
Girl.
Girl.
Boy.
You work on her. That's a good girl, Aggie. Gato's going to work on you right here. Okay, now what we're going to learn. We're going to learn how to do these little circles. Can you move your hands like this?
Just
in a little circle like that? That's it. And I'm going to show you just like this. And then you do this on your animal.
Okay, when I'm a circle on your animal, ne? Marunga ikwalis ifingani wenze kancane so. Ne, bawithasha ya, nje. Kancane so. So. Wenze so. And then so, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Wenza kahle ne. Kancane, so.
Now the reason that we're learning these little circles.
That's why it's so fun and ama circles, ne?
Is if you, does anybody here ever have a stomachache? Like say you're hungry, does anybody ever get hungry? So look, you can do these little circles on your stomach.
When's the
second so
malambile?
Just do it on your
stomach.
Just like that. Just like you do on the dog. Just like your animal.
And it's when the only animal song it's.
And you push in.
Push
in a little bit. Like that.
Yeah.
That's it. Or does anybody ever like fall down and hurt yourself? When you're playing, so what you do is just, if you run, if you hurt their knee, oh, sorry, girl, she's afraid of the balloon. Yeah, so what you do is work on this, wherever you hurt yourself, do these little circles. And it takes away the pain. Okay. So it's just moving your fingers, just like this. Move your fingers. And if you want to reduce the take away pain or fear, do these little circles. Okay. So can you practice on your animals? Just try
to practice on your animals.
Make them feel better. So, can you see how she's a little bit afraid of the balloons, isn't she? Did you hear that when it popped? She went, she's afraid. So, what we're going to do to help her is these little circles. And that's what you can do if you're afraid. Just like that.
And one of the things that I want you to think about, let's see how I stop the screen share for a moment, because I want you to think about this. When we're afraid, have any of you ever had that experience of feeling you were so afraid you were like out of your body? You were afraid, I forget, out of your mind, out of your body. Anybody have that or recognize it? And one of the reasons that I believe moving the skin, not rubbing over it, of course, actually gently moving the tissue, is the fact that it gives us feeling of our body. When we're so afraid, we don't feel the body. And when we start to just do gentle touches, the gentler, actually the better, they can be even off the body, they don't even have to be on the body, to affect and to bring us into this vehicle for our souls, our bodies here, that grounds us, it connects us, and we stay here. So whenever there's a situation where you're like afraid out of your mind, or you're out of your mind or out of your body, we can bring ourselves in a gentle way. Now, what is really interesting that I'm sure some of you remember this, but to me, it's one of the most really important studies that I know of, is that the American Massage Association, a number of years ago, did a 2000 person study measuring oxytocin. And they thought that they were going to show that massage really activates oxytocin, which Dr. Bruce Lipton has dubbed the trust hormone. And what they actually discovered is that really light contact with the body activated the most oxytocin. There was an oxytocin release with the deep work, but much less, and more cortisol was released than oxytocin. And that was a really big surprise. So for you, Dorothy, and just to clarify for some of you, the pressures that how we measure how much contact to make with the body, is we have this scale that is 1 to 10. And if you, 1 is the lightest connection you can make on your eyelid, to move the eyelid around over your eyeball with the lightest possible contact so that you don't slide over. And that's a 1, that's considered a 1. And if we want to get to like a 3 contact, remember, you find this, you're protruding your cheekbones here, and you just like say hello, feel your cheekbones. I connect my thumb and I move, just try this please. You move the skin over the bone so you really feel your bone clearly, like say hello to the bone. And I'm like using like a 3-second circle here. It takes us like 3 seconds to go around 1 1/4 times. The usual thing is like, just do it like a 2-second circle. And if we're nervous, we wouldn't do this on the cheekbone, but I'm up here so you can see it. I move faster. No, if I want to get the attention or move faster. And NLP, it's meeting us where we're at. If we're nervous or an animal is nervous, your dog's nervous, to start with, if you go try to move slowly, there it's not where they are. So that's thanks, Dorothy. It's interesting. That's the influence of NLP on this, is that meet them where they are and then slow, just a few of the faster circles, and then slow down and then actually come to a pause with a breath. So if you go to a normal massage and you're a person who really likes body work, most massages start at an 8. And we rarely on dogs use more than a max of 4. And on a horse, it's no more. Average is a 2, sometimes a 3. Sometimes even on cats, you'll have, you know, like a big, strong cat that's really like sure of themselves. You on the pelvis area, you might actually use a couple of touches that are in that 3. But most of the time, it's just moving the skin. And what goes along with that is the energy of the intention. It's the energy, it's the intention behind it. Because the concept here is what I've discovered after all these years of asking, wait a minute, like, how is this possible that we can release fear and pain in ourselves or in an animal or another person? And today I realize it's my premise that the reason is when you actually move that skin in 1 1/4 circle, it's that golden ratio, that cut that is in all of nature. And it's 5 degrees short of 1 1/4, which is really interesting, because when I first started going just a little beyond the circle, it was like, we described it still in some of my dog books, as you go to about 7:38, actually around 8, not all the way to 12, to 3, to 9, sorry. But when we started describing it as 1 1/4 circle, the reason we did it was just so much easier than saying, well, go to, you know, one time around past 6, and then almost to 8. And what we've discovered now, thanks to the work of Denise here, looking into it, the science behind it, it's actually like 5 degrees short of 1 1/4. And this is so interesting. So what? It's a question, right? Well, a so what is, to me, it is like turning a key, this moving the tissue, the skin, in 1 1/4 circles. Is at 1 1/4, is like turning a key to connect with this divine wisdom, consciousness, intelligence in every cell in the body. Because we have to, when we recognize that we are miracles, we, come on, y'all, how come our blood flows? Like, how can I speak? How can I see? No, why does the lymph work? Why does this all work? It's, of course, universal, divine. Many, many people call it God. And I want to remind you, some of you may remember this little book. I moved things around in the last couple of days. And that was my book, The Uncommon Prayer. Well,
It's a little tiny book that you can buy on Amazon for very little money. And on page 23, Ruth L. Miller writes that something that if you think about this and get what it says, it's an explanation of actually why it is that we can release pain or fear in our own bodies. It's not with the teacher, it's with our intention. And so this one page says, in between the stuff that makes up the universe, stuff is anything. In between the stuff that makes up the universe is not just empty space. Here, here. It's not just empty space. Holding it all together is a quantum field out of which emerges in orderly patterns. And that's anything that we see as solid. All intelligence and all consciousness. Some scientists call this, I'm thinking so much. Wait a minute, I am going to find this book. So in between the stuff is a wonderful quantum field out of which all matter emerges. Many scientists call this consciousness or intelligence, and the rest of the world calls it God or divine spirit or all it is. Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibilities, and this is where this relates to what we do. And he says that when we achieve the stillness of the prayer state, and that is the stillness of the pause between the touches, when we can achieve that stillness, that quietness of mind, we too help to form the shapes that emerge out of this field. And it just, for me, if you've been in this work for a long time, we've seen what you can only see as miracles when suddenly a dog who is really terrified or a person who is in a lot of pain can actually reduce or in many cases actually stop the pain. And we don't, I'll say that much, but I don't talk much about the miracles, because if you haven't experienced it or done it yourself, no, I don't want to go there. Because we know that you can reduce pain and fear. So when you're these pauses in between, when we give the consciousness, the intelligence of ourselves, the opportunity to be all they can be, and to, I believe we're supporting, in some cases, reactivating the communication between the cells. And that's this amazing communication between the cells that Dr. Bruce Lipton describes in Spontaneous Evolution, this incredible cellular intelligence. So I'm going to, we usually take a pause, a 10-minute pause, and I'm just going to stop at this. Actually, before we'll take the pause, I'll see if there are any comments you want to make or questions, and I will stop the screen share here. Stop the screen share. Stop it. This is quite interesting because my computer's changed just a little. Okay. So any thoughts you have, any questions, any comments, any thoughts? Why do I say that? Going back to gallery. Anybody inspired by any of that or thinking about it? Oh, sorry, Dorothy, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I've still got this. I've been doing somatic yoga for about a year and a half, and One of my yoga teachers has been doing a lot of training, and a big part of it has been Feldenkrais. So we've been doing things like using the yoga strap. I noticed one on your website about the bands, using the bands. And I realized that she's been using yoga straps in the same way to become aware of our bodies, and how much richness that's brought to yoga, because we're doing very little movement and a lot of becoming aware of just what's going on in the body, comparing one side to the other, of course. So it's a beautiful melding of yoga and Feldenkrais, I think, with the somatic yoga. And I've been getting a lot of peace out of it too. And she also does a sleep meditation yoga, which a lot of people are in their beds already in their pajamas, and they just go from I'm not ready at 9 o'clock at night for bed. But anyway, they again, that's the same kind of principles of just really becoming aware of your body, and it's an appreciation and for the big picture. But anyway, just wanted to connect that to what we're talking about, and the cellular memory, and awareness.
Thank you. Great. So I'm going to, it's 15 after the hour where I am in Florida, 3:15. At 25 minutes after the hour, we'll come back together and I'll stop the recording just now. Where are you? Stop.